Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I forgot about that. That was horrible.
Yeah, he is weird. He is weird. This song's not weird, though. Our next guest... not weird. Not like Russell Wilson. Though he did do something I think is kind of weird. We'll get to that. Elliot Shore Parks' call and is brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth C. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. On a week with a lot of drama, we're bringing a guy to help us figure it all out. Elliot Shore Parks. Elliot, how we doing?
Man, one thing I didn't consider in all this is how can Jalen and AJ fight during the best time of the year? It's Christmas season.
Christmas.
Everyone's supposed to be on the same page.
Just put some music on.
Exactly. Should I go in the locker room today, just blast some Mariah Carey, "All I Want for Christmas Is You," and see if that sets the mood better?
Button up people's shirts.
Yeah, that can't make
All right, we're going to get into that.
Well, we have to ask. We'll wait on that, though. Let's get to the more important stuff first. Elliot, where are you at right now with all this? Because there's been a lot. I mean, there's been a lot from Sunday to today. And I'm just curious, what have you felt as the week has gone on? Because you were the one that kind of got the question that led AJ down the path he went down. Where are you on your thoughts on how big of a deal we're dealing with right now?
So being at the locker on Sunday next to AJ when he answered, my reaction was not like, wow, that's a big shot at Jalen. Like, obviously he's talking about the passing game, and I completely understand why it could be perceived that way, especially after what Brandon Graham said. My initial reaction, though, was not like, wow, that's like he's throwing Jalen under the bus. But so that's the first part of it. But since everything that has happened, obviously Nick just spoke, and I know you guys played it. So, like, that last answer he gave about, like, why it matters, why relationships in sports matter, I thought was such a perfect example of, I guess, where I'm at with this. Like, I can talk myself into saying, hey, there, like 45-8 or whatever, like, or they're 37-8, Jalen and AJ are when they play together. They've been to a Super Bowl together. They're 10-2, you know, right now. Like, there is a real world where, like, none of this matters. But what Nick just said about how when you're really close with somebody and how you have a great relationship with them and when you are friends, like, that's that extra little bit, right? So I just ultimately think it is just not a good thing that the franchise quarterback and the number one receiver seem to be very much not on the same page.
Elliot, what do you think now? Like, if you could kind of draw this up to try to fix this, what do you think the game plan should be? Sirianni might have done some of this already, but is this on Sirianni to try to, you know, kind of sit down with these two guys and get them to talk it out? Or ultimately, is it just on them? I mean, I think back to Andy Reid. For as great of a coach as he is, he couldn't fix T.O. and Donovan. They just and they're still beefing
still Anna
over nonsense on WIP. Yeah. Do you think it's on Nick, or is it ultimately just on the two people that seem like they have a problem right now?
So I think it's on, in this instance, Jalen and AJ. And the reason I say that is because none of us know what this is about. Is it about targets? Is it about, you know, like football? Is it not about football? I mean, these two were obviously very close. I don't know how long ago, but like when AJ was traded here, obviously they were very close, right? And even after the Super Bowl season, AJ was very supportive of Jalen when, you know, he was going through his kind of contract negotiation with the Eagles. So like they have clearly been very, very close. So for this to get to something where it seems like they're not anymore, it's just hard for me to believe that's only about football. But, like, it's a friendship. So, it's, you know, I don't even want to speculate on it. So, like, that's why I put it on the players. Like, Nick can only do so much here if it's an issue between Jalen and AJ.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here. All right, Elliot, what do you expect on Sunday now? Because there's a lot of different ways they could go about this. They could just do the same game plan they've been doing and hope AJ doesn't pout if he doesn't get many targets. Or they could try to make sure he gets targets, you know, in a way they could force feed targets to AJ Brown and try to keep him happy. How do you think they play it now after all this?
I don't think they'll try to force feed AJ. Now, I think AJ will probably get the ball, but I don't think you can change the way you play based off AJ. That's a bad precedent. Like, if it is AJ complaining about targets and then they completely change the way they run the offense, like, I don't know how that does with the relationship with other players in the locker room, right? Like, if you're an offensive line or you're Devontae, if you're Saquon, and, you know, all of a sudden after 9 straight wins, you're changing how you run things because of AJ, like, I don't think that would go over well. And the other part of it is, I don't know if they can do it, right? Like, I think Jalen is probably a better passer than he's kind of being discussed right now nationally and somewhat locally. But I don't know if they can basically throw a game by, like, saying, you know what, we're gonna make Jalen throw it 40 times so we know AJ gets, like, 14 targets or whatever. I think you'll probably see somewhat of the same offense.
Elliot, you've been watching and posting a lot of the clips of the passing game. What do you think is going on here? Because there's a lot of different theories out there. One theory is that Jalen just doesn't see the field. Like, we see it's open, but for whatever reason, in the pocket or wherever he is, he's not seeing it the same way we're seeing it on the camera. Or the other theory is he's just gun-shy. All the interceptions earlier in the season, he's trying to protect the ball, and it's almost like he's gotten too conservative here. What's your guess as you watch it?
So I'll use two plays to kind of explain why I'm maybe not as concerned about other people as other people are. So the big play everyone's talking about this week is when AJ's wide open at the beginning of the game, right? Second play of the game, AJ's open down the field. Like, why aren't you throwing it, right? So you rewatch it, and J.C. Horn is sitting right in between Devontae and AJ. And at the time Jalen has to make a decision, to me it looks like he doesn't know who he's going with. Now, you could say, like, sit in the pocket a little longer, wait to see where J.C. Horn commits, and he eventually commits to Devontae. But what he does is he checks it down to Dotson. And I understand why you want that ball thrown to AJ. Like, go give him a chance. Even if J.C. Horn's leaning that way, like, he's open. Like, go throw it to him. But ultimately, I think the Eagles' best path to winning is Jalen not turning the ball over. And that is going to result in a lot of plays where it's like, hey, he's open, throw it. And he doesn't. Like, early in the season, I thought he tried to squeeze one in to Devontae against New Orleans. That was an interception. A few weeks ago against Dallas, he tries to squeeze one in to Dallas Goedert. That was intercepted. So I don't think it's a he doesn't really know what he's looking at thing. Like, that's not my read on it. I think he's just being overly protective of the ball. And honestly, I'm fine with that.
Elliot, let me throw a third theory at you. And I haven't watched enough of the replays and tape to kind of know if I'm right on this. It's just a theory. Elliot, we know Jalen likes to throw the deep ball. We know when it's one-on-one to AJ, he likes to take those shots and he's good at it. It feels like, at least this past game, that there was more zone. Like, the play you're referencing was a zone, right? The corner was making a decision. I just wonder if teams are going to start saying, like, we're not playing man anymore. We're going to play zone, and he's either going to hold it, run away from the pocket, or he's going to check it down. Like, it just feels like they're taking away the one thing he's good at, really good at still, and he likes to do. And if that's the case, this doesn't change until he gets better at this.
So I don't completely disagree with that. I definitely think that, you know, Jalen's, this is what, his fourth year as a starter now? Mm-hmm. Like, the book is somewhat out on him, like it is on every quarterback when they've been out there for 4 years. So, yeah, I don't disagree with you, but I also think that this is what we do a little bit with Jalen, where we try to think of, well, what if this situation happens? What if this situation happens? Like, they haven't lost in 9 weeks. So it's not like all of a sudden the Panthers were like, hey, we'll play zone, and like, this is going to be a big problem moving forward. I'm sure that, you know, they get a lot of different looks on defense. The offense talked about that in terms of why it's a slow start. And nobody's really been able to solve yet how to completely shut down the offense. Because if you put a ton of, like, your game planning and your coaching into stopping Jalen throw the ball, well, we know they have Saquon Barkley in the offensive line. So I definitely think it's a fair point. I think there could end up being a world where, you know, the fourth quarter in Detroit, they have to throw it at like 9 straight times, and we'll see what Jalen does there. But I don't think that they have like a massive problem in the passing game, because clearly they're winning all the time.
Well, they're winning. They're winning in spite of it this past Sunday, at least, and the other games.
I disagree, Steve, but that's where I disagree with you. Like,
but they
like,
couldn't throw the ball Sunday.
Right, but what would you say was the biggest like difference in that game between winning and losing the game?
I mean, I guess the Panthers turned it over once and the Eagles did not.
Yeah, like, yeah, that's a big deal. Like, for everyone that's like, Bryce Young played better than Jalen. Well, Bryce Young made the biggest mistake of the game. If he doesn't throw that interception, the Eagles don't get the ball before half. They don't score.
Right.
They're losing it.
Like, but that's what it took to beat a team that hasn't been favored to win a game in 2 years.
Right, but with that, like, the Panthers over the last month have been far more competitive. I don't think they played their best game. They played a C-minus game, or whatever you want to say, on Sunday. So I'm not sitting here and being like, it's hard to beat the Panthers. I agree they didn't play great. But the point I'm making is, like, when you say they're winning in spite of the passing game, I don't think that's true. Like, yes, the running game is better than the passing game, but they make big plays in the passing game. They make big plays on third down, and they don't turn the ball over. And that, like, it just can't be looked past. I know, because it's a zero, it's not a stat that people, like, will point to, But the fact that Jalen still moves the ball through the air for the most part without turning the ball over is like a major bonus for this team.
So I agree with that. I just think, like, full season wise, I think you're right. It's not held them back as much. I think we're trending the wrong way. Like, this, if this happens again Sunday, it's panic time on the passing game. It's 2 weeks in a row where it looks like a backup quarterback is playing out there. That's the way,
so,
like, in the passing game.
I disagree with you there too. And, you know, me and you rarely disagree. So this is, like, to say he looks like a backup quarterback, like, he doesn't, though. He just doesn't. Like, I've heard you say that, you know, you could put in any backup or whatever. You could
Kenny
put in a lot of guys.
He put Kenny Two Gloves.
Ellie, in the last 2 weeks, what's the throw he has made that anyone can't make?
I didn't say he didn't make a throw anyone else can't make.
Besides his scrambling, what is he doing the last 2 weeks that Kenny Pickett couldn't do?
But you can't just say, besides not turning it over and not scrambling, what does he do? Those are two huge parts of playing quarterback. If we're talking about just as a passer, yeah, I agree, right? Like, he is not a great passer. But we're not talking about as a passer. You're saying replacing him as an entire player, right? Like, there was a play at the end
of the first half. But hold on, I just want to pause for a second. Because we're scrambling, but there's also plays that someone else might make if they sit in the pocket. Like, no one talks about those. It reminds me of baseball where you're like, well, this guy doesn't make errors. Well, he can't get to the ball. So, yes, Jalen will scramble once every four times for 20 yards, or like the 35-yarder on Sunday. What a great play. But what about the six plays, if he doesn't move and he stands there, there's a wide-open guy that someone else might just hit? Like, it's not just the plays he makes. What about the plays he's leaving on the field? No one talks about those until this week now.
I agree with you. If you put, I don't know, let's say Matthew Stafford. If you put Matthew Stafford back there, he would probably make more plays in the passing game than Jalen does. You're right. But there would also be times where Matthew Stafford was sacked or where Matthew Stafford threw an interception. So, like, yes, you're right. Different quarterbacks have different skill sets and different strengths. But what I'm saying is, when you talk about putting a backup quarterback in there, not a lot of backups can take care of the ball. That's why they're backups. Not a lot of backups can make the runs that Jalen can. Like, when two guys are in his face on first and 10, he's about to get sacked at the 45, and instead they have a first down, like, on the 15. Like, that's a big deal. So me and you sound like we're mostly on the same page as a passer. I just think that what's happening with Jalen is we're ignoring so many other parts of his game that really do help this team win.
Well, they do. I mean, it's part of the reason why they've won. I mean, the lack of turnovers, you're right about that. It is a big one. All right, Ellie, before we wrap this up, we need to, we were going to play.
We just need to know, man. We still are bored. We just need to know
so
what's going on.
We were going to play the audio from yesterday, but I just figured, well, let you explain it to this audience. So, from what I understood yesterday, listening to the afternoon show,
you putting on people clothes.
You button Saquon Barkley's shirt.
Look, I would gladly button Hugh's shirt, Joe's shirt.
No, you wouldn't, because I'm not going to let you.
I would have rolled him until he told me no.
God, that was uncalled for.
All right, so here's what happened. So I'm standing at the locker. He just set the franchise record for rushing. So obviously,
that's how he validates it right there. You see, he validated
that's
it.
That's a detail that's not even doing anything.
I got to be a moment of history, Hugh. I get it.
Since you put it in that light, okay, you proceed to tell the story.
Well, the reason I say that is because there's a lot of people waiting to talk to Saquon. A lot of cameras, all the reporters. We're all, like, crammed in front of his locker. Hugh, you know how it is, right?
And he chose you.
He chose me. As I would guess, the most stylish one there. He was like, this guy knows how to button.
Oh, now it makes sense, right? Yeah.
But anyway, apparently I don't know how to button a dress shirt because he puts his wrist out, right? I'm like, all right, got you. Like, I'll help. And it took me easily 45, 50 seconds to button the first one. Like, they were the most slippery buttons I've ever seen in my entire life.
Now, just for clarity, this is a button on around the chest.
He ain't telling the whole story, though, because he said something about you were nervous. You were nervous?
Well, no. So this is the second button. So I finally get the first button. I'm starting to feel a little bit
better.
Before
you go on, I just need to know, where on the shirt are these buttons?
They're on his wrist.
Okay.
The wrist.
Oh,
cuff,
right.
Yeah,
okay.
Cuff, yeah.
All right. I just want to make sure.
Yeah, so they're on the wrist. Yeah. So I'm guessing it's a very nice shirt because I've never experienced buttons this slippery. It doesn't feel like those are the buttons.
It's like some silk, some real silk or whatever.
Yeah, this is an expensive button I was dealing with.
Is it soft?
So,
and supple?
So we get to the second button, like the second sleeve. And at this point, like, it's not going well again. So we're probably like a minute into this whole me trying to button his shirt thing. And he asked me if he said, are you shaking? And I wasn't. I didn't think so, but I guess the opposite was.
Nervous. The moment was too big.
Well, because everyone's looking. The like, moment, cameras,
the moment
like,
was
waiting.
Too big.
Was everyone's too waiting big. To talk to the leader and, like, the new franchise leading rusher, and I'm sitting there. I'm holding this all up because of the button. So it was, yeah, look, I mean.
What is he doing while you're doing the buttoning? Like, that he couldn't do the buttoning, and he asked you, like, is he doing a different getting dressed task, like shoes
no,
or something?
No, you want to know. You want to know what he was doing?
Yeah.
He was doing what everyone else was doing, just staring at me as I did this. Literally everybody there is just waiting for me to do this.
I got to ask.
Go ahead.
Did he had on pants, right?
Yeah, he was fully dressed.
Okay, because I was about to say, if he had on pants, then that just makes this awkward.
I'm actually, Elliot, the story here is not about you. It's kind of bizarre that he asked you to button his button, if I'm being honest.
I think, look, Joe, me and you have had this talk, like, as two football guys.
Yeah,
football guys recognize football guys, you know? So I'm sure, Hugh, there was times where you're on the field, and it's like, hey, put my shoulder pad back in my shirt, right? So
that's something different than putting on my you know,
buttons.
Yeah.
Helping someone is always helping someone, especially this time of year.
You know what? I'm glad we circled back that. It is the holiday season, Elliot. So everyone in Philadelphia, if you need a button, Elliot Shure Parks is
your guy.
As long as they're not slippery. I got it.
Yes, no slippery buttons. Elliot, thank you for hopping on. It's good. It's been quite a week. I'm sure there'll be more of that. We'll see you Sunday at the pregame, Elliot.
All right, sounds good. Talk
there
to
he
guys
goes. Elliot